from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hello there.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, guys. Great show. Love it.
Good morning, guys. Big fan of the show.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Call or text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to Jeremy and Joe now.
It's not raining yet.
It's not raining yet.
I was just outside. I had to run to my car to get something. It's actually nice out.
67, high of 82 today. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Thursday. Bills play Saturday, 1 o'clock. Preseason begins. Training camp ends today. One more practice, so, you know, get out healthy and call it. We'll hear from Sean McDermott in the 9 o'clock hour on who the starters might be. Will Josh Allen play? If he is going to play at all, you would think it'll be this week or the final week. There are two schools of thought, running through those quickly. Number one, play him earlier if anybody gets nicked up, not just Allen, but anybody. Play your starters as early as possible if there is an injury, more time to get prepared for the regular season. Mm-hmm. School of thought number two, play them in the last preseason game closer to the regular season to be sharper, closer to the actual opener.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's school of thought number three, hide their helmets. Don't let them play. That's where I live.
School of thought number four, play them at the end of the fourth quarter when the bad players on the other team are all in, and then they'll have an easier time. Well, not as big a threat as of injury.
Hmm.
Has anyone ever tried that before? Why not? Play them at the end.
It would be kind of funny. And here comes Mahomes.
With against 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Well, against these guys.
By the way, if you're going to the game Saturday, 71 and sunny.
Nice.
Beautiful day at the stadium if you're going.
803-0550. Josh Allen was asked about missing Stephon Diggs. Will the receiver room miss Diggs? And he answered that question. We'll get to that in a moment. Play the question, the answer, and get to that a little bit here. 803-0550. Back to the phones, waiting patiently. Anthony in Buffalo as we connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. West of New York's number one Kia dealer. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you? Okay, so I'm here. I'm last segment, you guys were chatting about Shakir. And, you know, I'll tell you, you know, when you got the guy who's he's the number one catch ratio to balls thrown to him, I don't understand how you guys could try to think that he's not going to get enough production this year. It almost would feel irresponsible for Brady to leave him off the field base because he wants to have a 12-man set. I see nothing but good things for Shakir. And, you know, when you need a third and seven and you need somebody that's going to guarantee to catch the ball, I wouldn't see why you would not put him out every time.
Yeah, no, he's reliable in that way. The regression point is only he was so good, it's not reasonable to expect he's going to catch 90% of his passes again and lead the league in yards per target. Like, that's not he's a bad player. It's he set a bar last year that was so high, it just, I mean, if he's going to be that efficient going forward, he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. And I'm not setting my expectation there.
No, there's part of the point built into why his catch percentage and his efficiency rate was so high is because of the position that he plays.
And because he also didn't get targeted as much as you think he did. They were still targeting Diggs at the end.
I wouldn't even say that. I mean, okay. I wouldn't even say that. All I'm getting at is making that point. And again, so to Anthony's point, what we got to was two tight end sets traditionally might mean that your slot receiver is not on the field.
Right.
You don't have a guy in the slot. You have two guys outside and two tight ends. Now, Joe Brady can mix and match, and again, we'll see what the offense looks like. The point about Shakir we were making is if you ask him to play on the outside, that's a very different job. It's not a coincidence that Kincaid and Shakir both had very high efficiency numbers in this offense. They both play in relatively short-range routes over the middle of the field, and Allen had a lot of success going to them. That doesn't mean that we think he's going to fall apart, be bad. But if they ask him, the larger point was asking receivers to do what they can do. Make sure that this skill set is matched to this job. And Shakir, when they drafted him 2 full years ago, we believe he can also play on the outside. What percentage of his snaps have come on the outside, Joe? You can look that up. You're good at this. I mean, you have access to a subscription or whatever. Percentage of his snaps that have come, or catches that have come from the outside. It's very little.
I can look up catches. His snap percentage last year in the slot was 69%.
Okay. So 2/3 of his snaps are in the slot.
Yes.
As one would expect. You can look up catches too.
I can find that. That might take a little more time. Okay. But
the point is, if you ask him, if you go from 69% in the slot to 69% outside, your efficiency is going to plummet. It's just
his would, for sure.
Anybody would.
Right. It's the type of routes you're running.
It's part of the reason that Keenan Allen, the idea is he got older, he was going to go into the slot. Why DeAndre Hopkins, the story was, well, he's older now, he'll go into the slot. Diggs, there's a conversation about Diggs and Houston. Hey, he's older now. They'll have Nico Collins as the outside number one guy that can do it all. Diggs will have an easier life. The slot is often treated as a spot that receivers can not quite go to die, but that's where you go when you need a slightly better outcome.
That is right for the catch percentage point, but that him leading the league in yards per target is not a slot receiver thing. That's the thing that's coming down. His role, how did he do that? He had a couple of monster yards after catch plays, right? Especially the jet one, right? It was a combination of he had a couple of monster plays, and if you look at his targets, they weren't as high. I mean, he was a part of the offense. He was not the focal point. He had two games all year with more than 5 targets. That's it.
Yeah.
Not 10, not 7, not 9. He had 2 games all year with more than 5 targets. The Tampa game and the Miami game. There are games in here. Kansas City had 1 target. Dallas, they ran the ball out. 1 target. The Chargers, 3. Denver, 2. Like, there are games in here where he wasn't really getting the ball all that much. So you combine that with a couple of giant plays, and that's the one that, like, catch percentage, I think you're right. Like, the type of routes he runs, like Beasley would be up near around that number, because if he's running 5-6 yard routes and they're high percentage, he's covered by a linebacker, Allen just pops it in there, like that number should stay high. He is not going to lead the league in yards per target. That number is the one that's usually more reserved for, usually it's the elite guys, but it's the guys that are running down the field and catching giant passes. And I think Shakir does have a lot more to offer in that way than some other slot receivers that the Bills have had in the past. I mean, the play he made against the Steelers where he finds a way to stay on his feet and then make a guy miss and get in, even the jet one that I mentioned that was 80 yards, that's speed. He outran guys. Yeah. He made, I think, one guy miss at least. Like, he does have ability there, but he's not Tyreek Hill.
Right. I mean, Beasley is not exactly a perfect comparison, but think about Beasley. He had a very specific job, and the idea of, well, we'll go two tight ends and put Cole Beasley out wide. You would just never do that.
Right.
That's not the job. Slot receiver and boundary receiver can be very different. Some guys do both. Some guys can do everything.
It would be a revelation, though, if he showed up this year and he was just winning on the outside. Like, I'm just...
Like, he's a Amon-Ra St. Brown who can do everything?
Yeah.
Which, like, maybe even he doesn't do everything, but... It just gets to... There are... It sounds like you went... Like, Anthony, I think, calls thinking we're downplaying Shakir, who is a super nice player and a really important part of this offense. This gets to the conversation, which I think we had in the first segment, which is, you know, your expectations should match what the job is. And I don't think Khalil Shakir's job is going to be a number one receiver. And you point out the number of times he got, like, two targets.
Yeah.
If he starts getting 9 targets a game, you know what will happen? He'll get more attention. That will also happen. You will get a lot more attention as a guy that gets targeted all the time. And then it's on Joe Brady to find other answers. So I think there's reason to be thinking Shakir has really good numbers. But number one receiver numbers, though? No,
like,
we're not talking about a guy that's ever going to hit $30 million because he's one of these guys. There's a story today that the Patriots offered Ayuk 4 years, $128 million. That's $32 a year. Which I think is exactly what he's worth. He deserves all that. And Shakir, you know, I don't know what his contract tops out at if he has 2 great seasons. But, I mean, Beasley, think about Beasley. When Beasley was here, he had great seasons. We thought he lost a step, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bills were like, see you later. We're just going to find somebody else to do it. And how long did it take them to find it? About a year and a half.
Yeah.
Because Crowder was hurt and never really worked out. And McKenzie, who they elevated into that role, really never worked the same way.
Yep.
Shakir has finally stepped right into that spot of the easy button throw, sit down, find a spot. You know, we'll see how Joe Brady deploys it. But the one thing I'll say, one more thing before you go here on Shakir, is just, and again, it's not an insult. I just mean this way. A lot of teams feel like they have a Shakir. A lot of teams think they have a guy like that. In Indianapolis, Josh Downs, high ankle sprain. Like, he plays a lot in the slot for them.
He's good.
Like, a lot of teams feel like this kind of receiver is one that's not the hardest type of receiver to find. The Bills have a very good one, and I think there's reason to like him quite a bit. But I don't know that yet he has shown that he's some sort of massive difference maker so much as he's really an important part of the offense.
Right. Especially an offense that's going to be lacking a number one receiver. Like, his role might be... He's going to need to perform. It is impressive, though. Like, the fact that yards per target number that I mentioned, he led the league 13.6. Here are the guys that were right below him. Number two was Brandon Ayuk. Not a surprise, right?
Right. And again, like, this to the point.
Yeah.
He has a much harder job.
Right. Nico Collins, George Pickens, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Noah Brown, Khalif Raymond, DJ Moore, Dontavian Wicks, Amari Cooper. Like, those are the names that are after him. None of those guys are, like, the type of role that I think you're going to expect Shakir to play.
To this point, Josh, I'm asking you to find this. We'll see if we can find it before the end of the show. Do you remember that clip we played of Brady saying it's important to get the ball to a receiver on the outside? He was talking about it on...
Cowherd, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was on Cowherd.
Yes. About involving your outside receivers because
he
felt it was important. And this is, again, this is Tom Brady basically saying, I can throw over the middle of this all day. The guys on the outside have a harder job, and I want to make sure I get them the ball early so that they don't feel like they're wasting their time.
Right.
You know, too much of the conversation about receivers on the outside, I think, is about divas. Reality is, when you're out there and you're Ayuk, the reason you're going to get 32 is because that job is a lot harder. It asks more of you. You have to be better. So we'll see if we can find that at some point and play it this morning. I don't remember what day it was from.
It'll be interesting, though. Like, we expect Kincaid to be a focal point of the offense, right? His volume is going up. It would be stunning if it didn't. And, you know, Coleman will try to figure out. Samuel will have his role. For Shakir, like, I expect regression in that one number, maybe not in catch percentage. And I'm very hesitant to say that it would work, him playing on the outside. I am very curious, though, like, is he going to get a higher... how much of a higher target share is he going to get? Is he going to go from 3 to 4 targets a game, even starting? After he got involved in the offense, it's about 3-4 targets a game. Is he going to be, like... 6-7? Are there going to be games where he has 10? Because I feel like that could happen. I feel like he's going to have a lower efficiency number because that's going to happen. And his volume is going to go up. And he's going to maybe have, you know, I don't think he'll get 1,000 yards. But I think the way it's shaping up, like his volume, his target share week to week to week, I think is going to be higher than even it was at the end of last year. I mentioned Diggs. Diggs was still involved in the offense even when he wasn't performing at the end. Like, they were throwing him the football. And not all of those are going to Dalton Kincaid. It's going to be split up elsewhere. And I think Shakir, those games that I mentioned where he had one or two, like, maybe his low end now is going to be like 4 or 5.
Yeah. That makes, I mean,
in a game.
It would make sense. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Found the Brady clip. Talking about.
Okay. So this is Brady on Cowherd about.
It's a conversation about getting the ball to number one receivers. And the point he ends up ultimately making is about the how jobs at receiver are different. They're not all the same job. The X, the Z, the Y, the slot guy, this, that, blah, blah. Like, they're not all the same job. And, you know, so much of this is about how these guys want the ball. They're always going to want the ball, blah, blah, blah. And here's Brady, who many people point out as, well, how many number one receivers did he have? Whatever. Here he is on that idea.
Yet you always felt like you had to do something to get them the ball. And if they hadn't touched the ball in practice, I'd make sure, oh, God, you know, hey, I got to get so-and-so ball because I want him to keep running hard. And I want him to be ready for when the ball does come. And, you know, you see it a lot in NFL games. I've been practicing a lot of these games. I want to see the best players touch the ball early so they can break a sweat. They can get into the flow of the game. And good coaches do that. When you script plays at the beginning of the game, you're saying, okay, you're the Niners coach. I'm going to make sure McCaffrey touches it either first or second in the game. I want to make sure Deebo Samuel touches it first or second in the game. I'm going to throw it to him quick. Somehow I know the ball is going to be in his hands so he can do something with it. I want to get him into the flow.
There's yeah. more. There's more. He got, yeah.
So we would always try to script so that everybody would feel like they were in the flow of the game. The last thing you want is your number one receiver to go 2.5 quarters into a game and not see a ball to get one target. Because right. he's going to get discouraged. He's got to go out there. He's got to break the huddle. He's got to run out 25 yards to his alignment. He's got to run down the field as fast as he can, try to get open. He's got to run back to the huddle. It's a lot of effort that he's putting into not getting the ball. And I think when you can reward that guy early in the game and figure out, okay, where is he at? How do I get him the ball? And there's certain guys that are really easy to get the ball too. Certainly the guys that line up closer to the ball, the tight ends and the slot receivers,
mm-hmm.
there's way more route options for them. It's way easier to get them the ball because they can go to basically every part of the field. Whereas that perimeter receiver, he's got the sideline to deal with. He really can't break out. If he breaks out, he's got 5 or 6 yards to deal with. A receiver at the tight end position or in the slot, when he breaks out, he's got 18 yards to deal with. So you have much more space to get him actually the ball. So, you know, it wasn't hard to get Welker the ball. It wasn't hard to get Edelman the ball. It wasn't hard to get Gronkowski the ball. It was hard to get a perimeter receiver the ball. If they decide that they want to take a perimeter receiver
they
out of the game,
roll out coverage.
You just roll the coverage to him. You play cover two. You jam him at the line of scrimmage with someone over the top, and it's very, very difficult to get that guy the ball. But that also.
So there you go. That's kind of summarized it, and then he said it again. Don't tell anybody that I love that I just told you that Tom Brady said something. You know, I liked it. Please don't bring that up. Don't bring that up. That's too sensitive. But that's the general point about Shakir is,
yeah.
you know, it doesn't mean we don't think he's good or he's not good. It's just he definitely has a different job, and that's why I think the efficiency is so high because yeah. he's with a great quarterback, and he has a lot of ability. But once you change that job, you definitely change a lot of what he might be.
Do you know what I was thinking while he was talking to about this group and Allen mixed together? And think about last season for this a little bit too. Their current receiving core, especially if Coleman can't end up playing the X proficiently. Like if he is big slot guy and at the beginning that's kind of it, and then Samuel's primarily, you know, Samuel could do everything. I don't want to put him in a box in the middle. Shakir, we think the same thing. Kincaid's a tight end. And there's Brady talking about, like, hey, it's easy to get it to Welker. It's easier to get it to Gronkowski. It's easy to get to your slot guys and your tight ends. That's what the Bills currently have,
yeah.
is all receivers and tight ends. And they also have a quarterback that is insistent on making the hard throw. Every week, every year, even when it's not there, Allen will try to make the tough throw. And they have a lot of guys right now that are probably more built to throw the easy stuff. Does that make sense?
Yes, but I don't think I want to say every week. I want to say that sometimes he does that. He's definitely shown an ability to stay completely in structure and play near perfect games of efficiency. You know,
I just watched the opener against the Jets last.
If you watch the opener against the Rams, you see that he's getting comparisons to Brady. Yeah, the playoff game against the Chiefs, he took what was there quite a bit, and when he did take his shots, you know, he got let down by his group. Speaking of that, Allen was asked yesterday about Diggs and this room, this receiver group, and I don't know that this went, you know, completely haywire. I'm surprised it did get a little more traction on the NFL circles. But anyway, he was asked about it, and he gave his answer.
At any point during camp, have you missed Stephon?
I mean, I think Steph's a great player, and what he brought to this team was special. So miss is I don't know if I'd say miss. You know, he was a guy that was reliable. You can look to. He's going to have the juice each and every day. I'm sure he's bringing it over there in Houston. So definitely, yeah, you can't say that you don't miss that. But I am very happy with what we got going on here and how hard the guys have been working. And
it's a tough question for him. That's a tough question. He can't say yes. And then he says, you can't say that you don't. Like, he's acknowledging, is he not?
I think he's acknowledging he misses him.
He says, no. He says, I wouldn't say miss. You can't say you don't miss. He's trying to not, I mean, let's be real. What Allen's trying to do is say, I like what we've got here. That guy's a great player. I don't want to say anything that's going to be perceived as any sort of flack between us.
Yeah. That's why he can't say miss.
That's why he says, I wouldn't say miss. You can't say you don't miss, because if he says I don't miss, now the headline is he doesn't. He's walking the line as best he can.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
He's trying to meander. He's trying to not get in trouble.
You mentioned it didn't really get a lot of run in league circles. It's almost an amazing job by Allen up there that it didn't, right? Because if he goes too far either direction,
right,
it is exploding on NFL Live and whoever else is talking about football yesterday.
Right. The first part is, I don't know if I'd say miss. Oh, he doesn't miss him. But you can't say you don't miss him. Okay. Yeah,
if he says Mrs. Allen, what's wrong with the Bills receivers
at
training camp?
It's a difficult question for him to answer.
He expertly threaded
the needle between the corner and the safety, and he landed it. You know? He got it done.
The things he says specifically, though, about, like, the guy was reliable, juice every day, you know, like, I'm not also... I feel like he could have bypassed the question a little differently if he truly didn't, you know, like if he was just done and I don't need to deal with this anymore, and that was his mentality about Diggs this offseason. I don't think he would have sounded that way. I also don't believe that he is that way about Diggs. He Diggs having the juice every day. That's why when the Bills are dancing at practice, like, I just don't subscribe to that means anything about Diggs, because, like, the juice every day, the energy, the fun loving dancing, whatever, like, he was a part of that for 4 years and was that way. Like, I don't think it's any different. So, it is incredible, though, he didn't step in it.
Yeah. A minefield avoided.
Yep.
To a degree.
He might miss Diggs by the end of the year, though.
Yeah.
You hope not.
803-0550 is our phone number if you have a thought on any of that. 1-888-550-2550. I don't know if we're going to see Diggs tomorrow. The Texans play. They've got their first preseason game.
I didn't see anything on them. I just saw that the Giants do not plan on playing two players tonight.
Neighbors?
Neighbors and Daniel Jones.
That's unfortunate. I would really like to have seen Neighbors, although, you know, I don't want to.
Are going to revolve their entire offense around him.
So I saw fantasy analyst for Yahoo, Dalton Del Don, talking about this, saying, you should not be afraid of Neighbors because he's with Daniel Jones for that exact reason. They have nothing but Neighbors.
Right.
And he pointed out, Dalton Del Don did, that when Dable had Diggs, they fed Diggs.
Yeah.
Like, Diggs wasn't the only thing they had, but they're going to feed Neighbors a lot. And Jones is going to throw to him, and they're going to be losing in games an awful lot. And that if you want a guy that's going to get a great target share as a rookie, I mean, in Arizona, Marvin Harrison Jr. is sharing targets with Trey McBride, and maybe Michael Wilson's not that bad, and what, Greg Dortch, who I've seen a little bit of a push for him lately.
Yep.
Name a pass catcher on the Giants outside of Neighbors, or like Darius Slayton. Is he still there? Is it Sterling Shepard?
Anyone we name is going to say, are they still there? I was going to say, do they still have Isaiah Hodgins?
Maybe.
He was their thing a year ago.
Yes, they do. He was in a picture with Isaiah McKenzie.
Rookie Theo Johnson.
Isaiah McKenzie's there? Is that what you said? Okay.
It's going to be a neighbor's offense.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean it's going to win, but from a fantasy standpoint, if you're looking for targets, neighbors is going to get them.
He will. What scares me about him there, though, not even him being a rookie, it is the quarterback, because even if he gets... 2 years ago when they had their surprise playoff season, do you remember what Daniel Jones' numbers were in 16 games?
He threw for like 15 touchdowns?
He threw for 3,200 yards and 15 touchdowns.
Yeah.
If neighbors got... It would take neighbors getting half of his quarterback's production from 2 years ago to be like a top 10 receiver. Half.
Yeah.
I know it's going to revolve around him, but 50% of the offense for a wide receiver seems a bit much. So I feel like Jones will have to play better than he even did 2 years ago for that to pay off. I don't disagree with the point, though. Like, I think, and didn't the owner say in, was the owner or was it Joe Shane or was it someone else? Someone in the Hard Knocks said, if we lose Barkley, what's our identity? Someone asked that question. Maybe it was one of their personnel people.
You know what that reminded me of?
And neighbors is going to be their identity.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. That reminded me of when the Bills had LeSean McCoy, and we thought, why do they want to pay a running back? Why do they want a guy like this? And it's because McCoy, even though the Bills were flawed at the time, McCoy gave them and their offense some credibility. And I feel like that's what Barkley, what the Giants feel like Barkley did for them. We are credible because of him. Nobody thinks our quarterback is legit. And this running back is at least, if no one else is, he's respected. Now he's gone. What's our offensive credibility? It's a quarterback people think stinks and a rookie receiver that looks to be great, but that can only do so much.
Yeah.
Of course, the Beckham comparisons will be obvious because Beckham dragged Eli Manning back to life with one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen.
That would be the neighbor's point. The neighbor's point would be, hey, don't worry about what Daniel Jones did 2 years ago with, Darius Slayton at wide receiver. He's going to do what you just said Beckham did. He's going to drag Daniel Jones to 4,000 yards. By the way, speaking of Hard Knocks, did you watch the Bears episode?
No.
Debuted yesterday. I have not watched it yet either, so I shouldn't have even brought it up because I haven't seen it.
We haven't
Bears and Bills, though, on Saturday. If you want to get a look at Caleb Williams and their upcoming opponent.
The Bears,
first episode of Hard Knocks is out.
The Bears episode was on last night, and I've seen less from it than all the Giants stuff that went viral.
Yeah, I haven't seen a clip.
That's probably because the Giants stuff is more interesting to people. It's GMs, it's meetings, it's conversations, as opposed to just practices and stuff like that. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550, if you want to chime in. Open phone lines for you. Give us a call. We've talked about plenty of Bills stuff today. Last day of training camp from St. John Fisher. And then we've got preseason game number one with the Bears coming up Saturday. We expect to find out what kind of starters will see action on Saturday in the next hour or so. And there's another point to be made here about where the team is, the team in transition. It used to be we could think of 5 or 6 or 7 guys that would not play. That number might be lower this year than it has been in previous years. 803-0550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe on a Thursday that's not yet rainy, but soon.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You know, where we are is you have reports and you have rumors and then you have reality. And, you know, we're in reality right now. We got different people doing different things and we have different responsibilities in that natural nature. But ultimately, we're just attacking it day by day.
Jalen and I are in a really good place. Every relationship that you have needs work with everybody. And we've always continued to try to work at that.
Jalen Hurts and then Nick Sirianni, some reporting yesterday already about a fracture in their relationship going back to last year. After they beat the Bills, they went on hard times and fell apart and looked nothing like the Eagles have in years past. Their defense really fell apart. But anyway, it is interesting that part of the story is that Jalen Hurts called Wink Martindale, a defensive coordinator with the Giants at the time, who their season had ended, but he asked Martindale for advice. Like, tell me how you defend me. Tell me, I mean, I'm just paraphrasing it from what was in the piece. And I think you could look at that two different ways, as is normally the case with almost anything in football. Every single thing is both good and bad, depending on what you want it to be, right? You got rid of a great player. Oh, that just means an opportunity for somebody else to step up. Oh, okay, that's good. Hurts calling a defensive coordinator of another team is A, if you want this side of it, wow, grinding. Look at his thirst for knowledge. Look at how dedicated he is. He wants to reach out to find out flaws in his game. I think that's a totally reasonable thing to think, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other side of that is he has such little faith in his own coaches, he goes outside the organization for help.
Yep.
Which one?
I kind of like that one better. That one's more fun to me.
Which one do you want?
I think I want the second one to be true.
I am a little bit.
I think the second one could be true.
I think the second one could be true, especially because of the reports that the two don't have a good relationship.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to have the answers with that offense right now. So if you're the quarterback and you reach outside the organization, I think that means I don't trust what this guy's telling me. I don't think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
On some level.
And that was basically the gist of the story that ESPN posted yesterday.
Yeah.
Was that Hurts does not have faith in his head coach. And maybe there's deeper stuff beyond that even. There was another player that did that last year. Went outside his own building. And actually, his head coach did get angry about it.
Was it the Broncos? Who
Mac
was it?
Mac Jones.
Who did he reach out to?
He reached out to... ooh, who was it? One of the Bama coaches. One of the... it was Bill O'Brien. No, not Bill O'Brien. Oh, now I'm forgetting who exactly it was. Whoever his offensive coordinator was at Alabama, though, he reached out to in the middle of the season to find out, like, what am I doing wrong? And Belichick got, like, really upset about that. And then I think he got benched pretty quickly after that.
We are, of course, getting close to the season, which means we're close to Belichick and Brady season because they're both going to be on TV a lot.
Yo, Belichick is...
he's going to be everywhere. Belichick
is everywhere. Yeah. Underdog Fantasy?
Uh-huh.
He's got a show on Underdog Fantasy now? He's doing so many things that, like, he's not waiting around for a coaching job.
Listen,
he's acting like a man who thinks he's not going to get a coaching job again, at least not this year.
They both have the potential to deliver football analysis that people will absolutely love.
I think Brady will give me, like, I like that clip we played earlier. Brady, I would expect, is going to give me good, smart analysis. I feel like he's still a robot, though. Like, any sort of the you know, little humor mixed in along the way, just no chance. Belichick, I feel like there's a chance. Once in a while, I see, like, he was on McAfee during the draft, and there were a couple of funny moments. Like, I don't know. Here and there, I feel like the more I see Belichick out in the public eye now, I feel like there's more. I think he's going to be better at that part of it than Brady is. So I think Belichick's going to be better at this than Brady is.
803-0550, connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Ron in Alden is next up. Hey, Ron.
Hey, good morning, guys. I have a question. Everyone's been talking about Bass a lot and how they're concerned about kicking, and I just don't care about the kicking game enough, I guess. What do you two think, and if you both have different opinions, that's great. What do you two think is the biggest weakness of the Bills right now, player-wise, as far as a position? I'll take up a list. I just want to hear your answer on what you guys think could be our biggest weakness this year. Thanks.
Thanks, Ron. Weakness.
That may be boring if I just say wide receiver.
Well, I guess I would want to make one. I'd want to tweak the question, because can I differentiate between weakness and unknown? An unknown doesn't have to be a weakness.
It can become one.
Can be. It means I don't know how they are at, you know, position X. Like, but, right now, safety. Was already going to be a question, mm-hmm. and I've got injuries to two players back there. Mike Edwards and mm-hmm. Cole Bishop. So it's Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin. And okay, we'll see how that goes. Is that a weakness brought on by injuries? It could be. Receivers could be a weakness. It also could be an unknown. Weakness could be the style of the offense. Weakness could be how they want to play ball control, run the ball more, because that's something that worked for them at the end of the season, and that might keep teams close to them. So guessing on the weakness today, there's weakness and there's unknown. If I'm just going straight weakness.
I get what you're trying to do. The reason I don't like making that differential is because I feel like if I can't say right now that the Bills at wide receiver going into the year is a weakness, then I feel like you can't, given what training camp is like and preseason's like, I can't do that about any team about anything. Like, the other day I mentioned how, like, the Ravens might have the worst offensive line in football, or one of them. What would they say to that? So it's not a weakness, we just don't know yet.
Right. That's fair. Yeah, right. Right now you talk about weaknesses as unknowns, because the sky's the limit for everybody.
I guess in some pockets, like, can I say the Raiders at quarterback is a weakness?
Sure.
That one I feel pretty good about, right? Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. So I guess you can find spots to do that. I wouldn't do that yet with receiver. I feel like it's a weak. I feel like right now it's a weakness.
Thanks, Ron. I think that's probably right.
Safety might be because is their plan DeMar Hamlin at safety? They probably might even would tell you no. Their plan 5 months ago was not DeMar Hamlin's going to start the open air at safety.
Right, and injuries are why that's happened.
Right,
whereas, if you look, like, Sal posted the team's first depth chart at our website, WGR550.com. And if you go to the depth chart, you know, forget what we say. What would your opponents say about your biggest weakness?
Yeah.
The way the depth chart is listed, the Bills' top three receivers are Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, and Mac Hollins. That's what the depth chart says. Keon Coleman. Okay.
So they probably say that.
I think other teams would say that, yes.
Otherwise, pass rusher?
Pass rush is a concern, for sure.
Those are the big three right now?
But again, that are
unknowns that you would hope.
That includes an unknown. Is Vaughn ready to come back?
Yep.
Can they get anything out of Dwayne Smoot? Yeah, so
there's a couple things that could develop into weaknesses.
Right. Weaknesses are unknowns, I guess is what we're getting to at training camp. Weaknesses are unknowns.
But you know, other than that, like I do not think their secondary as a whole, especially at corner, I do not think will be that.
They look very strong at corner.
I don't think their offensive line will be a weakness.
I think that's fine. The running back room should be generally fine.
It's fine. Tight end is obviously
a position
fine.
Of strength. Yes, position of strength.
That's maybe a better question, is how many positions of strength do they have?
Linebacker, if Milano is healthy, is one.
Linebacker, tight end.
I would give him defensive tackle.
Corner.
Not edge, but tackle is a position of strength. I think they're decent at defensive tackle.
I would give them corner right now, too.
For sure. Elam's had a great camp.
And quarterback, I would
Yes.
That would feel appropriate.
I had the thought at camp yesterday as we're just watching the offense, you know, move down the field and work. You can get desensitized to camp where the impressive becomes mundane. Like year seven of watching a Josh Allen offense, you just watch them move down the field and score a touchdown. And sometimes they have a bad day and, you know, we don't think about it. I can remember back to when, you know, all due respect, whether it's EJ or Lossman or anything, and Joe B is, I can remember one of those years, Joe B is our beat reporter covering the team, and we'd, Howard and I in the morning, and say, well, Joe, did anybody have a good day? You'd say, like, I don't know what to tell you guys. It was those kind of performances, like Giants camp, when they're saying Daniel Jones couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. That doesn't exist where we are anymore. So it kind of struck me yesterday that a very pedestrian offensive drive from Allen and these receivers who are unknowns, it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, they're probably going to be fine.
Right.
In a lot of ways, by comparison.
Allen makes 15 throws every practice, where if one of those happened 15 years ago, it would have been the story of the day.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's about right.
Guys, you got to see the pass that EJ Manuel made today, and Allen will make a dozen of them.
Yep. 803-0550. Wrapping camp. Jeremy and Joe with you here on WGR as one more from St. John Fisher, expecting to hear news on the starters for the preseason coming up in about a half hour here.
Can you believe that I'm playing golf with Joe later today, and he had the nerve to bring up my current affliction in the golf world, the Hazel Rocket S-words? Can you believe he brought it up?
I didn't say the S-word.
Who does that to a person?
I didn't say the S-word.
What kind of monster does that?
You should thank me when you don't hit one, because I reverse jinxed this.
What kind of psycho would do that to a person?
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Let the record show. So that's me reacting to Joe flat out when I said, you know, just in passing, we're playing golf today. You're like, oh, you gonna bleep it? You gonna bleep it a bunch of times? Let the record show. I did not.
Call me the golf healer.
Oh, yeah?
I did it.
Are you a healer?
Actually, am I a healer, or did I just assume the you-know-what upon myself? Because I probably hit four, not like you, though. Like, these were not the same ball flights, but these were...
Go ahead and talk yourself out of it.
Yeah. I did it four times myself, absolving you.
The first stage is always denial. It's
you know, Josh, let me tell you, when I saw him hit those horrible duffs, couple of duffs, you know, usually you're just like, you know, that happens. But when it happened to you, after attacking me in the way that you did, my soul smiled. I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's right. I hope it happens to you for a week.
The golf universe had to find a way to balance itself.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. I did not have any.
None.
None of the real bad ones. You know, I did
you had a couple that were like a little
regular
short,
bad shots,
but they were fine.
Yeah. Regular bad shots.
Right.
I just had a regular find a regular round.
Right, because this was a bad shot where you weren't searching through the woods 50 yards to your right. This was, you were just a little short and in the rough.
Right, there's a very specific thing about the S words, and that is that it hits the hosel of the club, and it looks like you've never swung before in your life. And I didn't do that a single,
they didn't look like
a
that.
Single time.
All right.
Which makes, I might as well have shot even par. I'm so happy about it. What else happened in our round? Anything exciting? Nothing?
It's just a regular old golf round.
It was a regular golf round.
This is a nice, good weather.
It was nice.
Windy, little windy.
Yep.
Little windy. Never hurt anybody.
You like wind. You're on record as saying you play better in the wind.
Just a little bit.
I distinctly remember a poll from when I first started. You and Nate, for some reason, had MASH on that TV in there. And
MASH.
I came in.
No, that can't be right.
You're watching MASH in here?
No, it was the end of a Bills game or something, and that was what was on
next. Oh, it was
already
next. On? It was on
and
next.
I was like, oh, I used to watch this show, and you made a poll making fun of me because
MASH.
It was, would you rather watch MASH or play golf in the wind?
Okay.
I'd play golf in the wind.
What's wrong with MASH?
I don't think it's wrong with it.
I couldn't sit through
it. It is kind of stunning, though, that you like to watch MASH.
I used to watch it all the time when I was a kid.
That's stunning.
Without ever seeing it, I'm telling you right now, I don't think I could sit through 20 minutes of MASH. How long is a MASH episode?
There's no Pokemon characters doing stuff, right?
Yes.
There's no Harry Potter wizard?
Not yet. They're going to have a like a combo.
This is an old guy's attempt to make jokes about you
being young. It was a good show. They had funny parts.
Yeah, but
MASH, the 80s?
How old are you? When I watched, when I started watching.
Now.
No, how old are you now?
25. How many 25-year-olds have seen MASH?
8? 3%.
I wasn't even saying percent. I was saying 8.
Oh, 8
I think
total.
There might be 8 living 25-year-olds that have seen MASH.
When did MASH start the finale?
Start a Facebook group. See if you get any friends in there. Like 8 people of 25 years old have seen MASH. A full episode.
I don't even know if I know what MASH is
about. I watched the whole series.
There's helicopters, right?
Yes.
Or is that just the intro? I think I've seen the intro, clearly.
It does have a great theme song.
I'll say I agree with that. MASH, I mean, ended in 1983.
That's what I mean. It used to be on TV
40
Land.
40 years ago.
It used to be on TV Land. They'd play about like 4 episodes a night
TV
from like
Land.
7 to 9. We and I'd sit and watch them before I go to
we
bed.
We asked 10,000 25-year-olds to find TV Land on their...
I could not tell you where TV Land is.
Listen, I stumbled upon it. I used to watch Home Improvement. Right? Like they'd have the old reruns of Home Improvement. And okay. After Home Improvement on TV Land was MASH.
Are you watching
what?
Are you watching Mr. Ed while you're there?
No.
Okay.
What I draw you, the line there.
What do you know the, what Mr. Ed is?
The Mr. Ed the Incredible Horse, right?
Yeah, the talking horse.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is either. What is the TV show that you saw the most of that was on before you were born?
MASH.
Ooh, that's a good question.
For you it is MASH?
That's a really good question.
For me, I think it's probably Full House. Full House was done when I was born. I watched a lot of Full House as a kid.
God. What the heck? What?
What?
Oh, man.
Nick at Night?
Just know the idea that you were not even born when that show was
Oh, yeah. 1995 finale. No, I was not born yet.
I don't know.
Seinfeld, I don't think counts because it was on for 5 years after I was alive.
Hey, somebody that's 45, tell me what the answer to this is. What's the show I've watched the most that was over before I was born?
You were born in 19...
79.
A show, from the, before, so 70,
a show
the
from the 70s.
When was, like, well, Brady Bunch?
Okay, maybe. I thought you were about to say Leave It to Beaver, and I was going to punch you.
Brady Bunch ended in 1974.
Then that's the answer. That's got to be the
Did
answer.
Did you, like, watch that, though?
Sure. It's in the same way, like, yeah, reruns were on, I'd watch the Brady Bunch.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen a good number of those.
74. Leave It to Beaver is great.
I guess that's got to be the end. I can't even think of what else it could be.
Like the Ed Sullivan Show. I don't know. I'm trying to think of shows that were on in the 70s.
Nah. All right.
Is that a 70s show? We'll that could be a 40 show for all I know.
Yeah, we'll get some text on this and see what people have to say about whatever show that might have been. Most popular television shows of the 70s. I guess that's what I got to look for. All right. Anyway, we expect to hear about starters for the first preseason game coming up. Sean McDermott meeting with the media very shortly. We'll keep you posted on what happens and carry it for you if we can.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Can you believe that I'm playing golf with Joe later today, and he had the nerve to bring up my current affliction in the golf world, the Hazel Rocket S-words? Can you believe he brought it up?
I didn't say the S-word.
Who does that to a person?
I didn't say the S-word.
What kind of monster does that?
You should thank me when you don't hit one because I reverse jinxed this.
What kind of psycho would do that to a person?
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Let the record show. So that's me reacting to Joe flat out when I said, you know, just in passing, we're playing golf today. You're like, oh, you gonna bleep it? You gonna bleep it a bunch of times? Let the record show. I did not.
Call me the golf healer.
Oh, yeah?
I did it.
Are you a healer?
Actually, am I a healer or did I just assume the you-know-what upon myself? Because I probably hit four, not like you, though. Like, these were not the same
go
ball
ahead.
Flights,
go
but these
ahead
were...
And talk yourself out of it.
Yeah. I did it four times myself.
The first stage
you
is always denial. It's
you know,
okay.
Yeah. Josh, let me tell you. When I saw him hit those horrible duffs, couple of duffs, you know, usually you're just like, you know, that happens. But when it happened to you, after attacking me in the way that you did, my soul smiled. I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's right. I hope it happens to you for a week.
The golf universe had to find a way to balance itself.
That's right. I did not have any.
None
of the real bad ones. You know, I just
you had a couple that were like a little
regular
short,
bad shots,
but they were fine.
Yeah, regular bad shots.
Right.
I just a regular find a regular round.
Right, because this was a bad shot where you weren't searching through the woods 50 yards to your right. This was you were just a little short and in the rough.
Right. There's a very specific thing about the S words, and that is that it hits the hosel of the club, and it looks like you've never swung before in your life. And I didn't do that a single.
They didn't look like
a
that.
Single time.
All right.
Which makes I might as well have shot even par. I'm so happy about it. What else happened in our round? Anything exciting? Nothing.
It's just a regular old golf.
It was
round,
a regular golf.
This is a nice, good weather.
It was nice.
Windy, little windy.
Yep.
Little windy. Never hurt anybody.
You like wind. You're on record as saying you play better in the wind.
Just a little bit.
I distinctly remember a poll from when I first started. You and Nate, for some reason, had MASH on that TV in there. And
MASH.
I came in.
No, that can't be right.
You're watching MASH in
no,
here?
No, it was the end of a Bills game or something, and that was what was on
next. Oh, it was
already
next. On? Or was on
and
next?
I was like, oh, I used to watch this show, and you made a poll making fun of me because
MASH.
It was, would you rather watch MASH or play golf in the wind?
Okay.
I'd play golf in the wind.
What's wrong with MASH?
I don't think it's wrong with it.
I couldn't sit through it.
It is kind
of
stunning,
of
though, that you like to watch MASH.
I used to watch it all the time when I was a kid.
That's stunning.
Without ever seeing it, I'm telling you right now, I don't think I could sit through 20 minutes of MASH. How long is
so
a MASH fun. Episode?
There's no like Pokemon 20, characters minutes. Doing stuff, right?
Yes.
There's no Harry Potter wizard?
Not yet. They're going to have a they're gonna have a like a combo.
This is an old guy's attempt to make jokes about you being
it was a,
young.
It was a good show. It had funny parts.
Yeah, but how old are you?
When I started watching?
Now.
No, how
now?
Old are you now?
25.
How many 25-year-olds have seen MASH? 8?
3%.
I wasn't even saying percent. I was saying 8.
Oh, 8
I think
total.
There might be 8 living 25-year-olds that have seen MASH.
When did MASH start the finale?
Start a Facebook group. See if you get any friends in there. Like, 8 people of 25 years old have seen MASH. A full episode.
I don't even know if I know what MASH is about.
I watched the whole series.
There's helicopters, right?
Yes.
Or is that just the intro? I think I've seen the intro, clearly.
It does have a great theme song.
I'll say I agree with that. MASH, I mean, ended in 1983.
That's what I mean. It used to be on TV
40
Land.
40 years ago.
It used to be on TV Land. They'd play about like 4 episodes a night
TV
from like
Land.
7 to 9. I'd sit and watch them before I go to bed.
We asked 10,000 25-year-olds to find TV Land on their...
I could not tell you where TV Land is.
Listen, I stumbled upon it. I used to watch Home Improvement.
right? Like they'd have the old reruns of Home Improvement. And okay. after Home Improvement on TV Land was MASH.
Are you watching what? Are you watching Mr. Ed while you're there?
No.
Okay.
What I draw the line there.
What do you know what Mr. Ed is?
The Mr. Ed the Incredible Horse, right?
Yeah, the talking horse.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is either.
What is the TV show that you saw the most of that was on before you were born?
MASH.
Ooh, that's a good question.
For you it is MASH?
That's a really good question.
For me, I think it's probably Full House. Full House was done when I was born. I watched a lot of Full House as a kid.
My God. What the heck? What?
What?
Oh, man.
Nick at Night?
Just know the idea that you were not even born when that show was
finished. Oh, yeah. 1995 at finale. No, I was not born yet.
I don't know.
Seinfeld, I don't think counts because it was on for 5 years after I was alive.
Hey, somebody that's 45, tell me what the answer to this is. What's the show I've watched the most that was over before I was born?
You were born in 1979. A show from the
70s.
When was Brady Bunch?
Okay, maybe. I thought you were about to say Leave It to Beaver, and I was going to punch you.
Brady Bunch ended in 1974.
Then that's the answer. That's got to be the
Did
answer.
You, watch that, though?
Sure. It's in the same way, reruns were on, I'd watch the Brady Bunch.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen a good number of those.
74. Leave It to Beaver is great.
I guess that's got to be the end. I can't even think of what else it could be.
Like the Ed Sullivan Show. I don't know. I'm trying to think of shows that were on in the 70s.
Nah. All right.
Is that a 70s show? We'll that could be a 40 show for all I know.
Yeah, we'll get some text on this and see what people have to say about whatever show that might have been. Most popular television shows of the 70s. I guess that's what I got to look for. All right. Anyway, we expect to hear about starters for the first preseason game coming up. Sean McDermott meeting with the media very shortly. We'll keep you posted on what happens and carry it for you if we can.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.